question, however. We have with us on the line right now Texas Governor Bill Perry. Texas Governor Bill Perry. And shortly after that, we'll be talking to Bob Beaupre, who, of course, is the Republican nominee to take on Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper. Governor Perry and perhaps soon to be Governor Beaupre are involved in building alliances with other governors around the country. Bill Owens was very good in this regard as well. They're working with a coalition of like-minded governors, in particular Rocky Mountain West governors, to push back against federal encroachment on issues that are properly state concerns. And the irony here is what's clearly a federal concern, securing our borders, is something this administration is very lax about fulfilling its responsibilities. And you probably are aware that Governor Perry has ordered 1,000 guardsmen to the Texas-Mexico border to provide some much-needed support in this area. Governor Rick Perry's on the line with us right now. Governor Perry, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mr. Rosen, how are you? It's a pleasure to be here and to get to help what I consider to be an individual who will really put Colorado back on track to be a place where people want to move to and a job creation mecca, if you will, and that's Bob Beaupre. So he's got a plan. He understands that when you overtax, overregulate, overlitigate, and you don't focus on your job creation machine of public schools, you're going to be headed in the wrong direction. And that's the reason a number of businesses have packed up and moved out of Colorado, because they felt like, number one, that they maybe weren't welcome here, and the tax burden and the regulatory climate makes it tougher to do business. So Bob understands that. He's been a – I told somebody, I said, man, a farmer, dairy farmer, is a disciplined and a principled person, and he's gone on to be a very successful businessman as well. So bringing that experience of a successful business and all, obviously being a hardworking individual is what this state is looking for.
Another big issue in Colorado is going to involve these initiatives that are being bankrolled by Jared Polis, a liberal Democrat from Boulder, to clamp down on fracking, which has been very successful in the state and has added to the state's huge economic growth relative to oil and gas production. I know Texas is a big oil and gas state as well. Have you had any similar attempts to overregulate fracking in Texas?
No, as a matter of fact, Texas is one of the first states to take a proactive stance on the issue of fracking and to making public the compounds, the different types of fluids that were used in the fracking process. It is proven by scientific study after scientific study by to be a safe and a good way to open up these oil and gas reserves, and particularly on the natural gas side, which Colorado has a substantial amount of. And the byproduct of that is young people in the state of Texas who maybe 6 or 7 years ago only had a minimum wage job at best or no job, today are upwards of $100,000 a year working in the oil and gas field. That type of activity can occur in Colorado, but not if we allow these special interests to come in here and to stop a safe, thoughtful, and economically powerful practice like hydraulic fracturing.
Tell us what you're doing regarding the deployment of 1,000 guardsmen on the border.
Well, the border with Texas and Mexico has not been secure for years. The discovery some 2 years ago that there were substantial numbers of these unaccompanied children coming across gave us great hesitation about what's going on in Central America, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, for instance, and that's where these young people were coming from. We wrote a letter to the president and said, listen, you need to be aware of this, you need to address this, and we got no response. And this earlier this year, we saw those numbers explode. And that's been the real catalyst for a lot of coverage by the media. And that is a humanitarian crisis, and it's being, I think, appropriately dealt with. But that's not the big issue. The bigger issue is the 80-plus percent of individuals who are using this distraction of the Border Patrol to these young minors who are being unaccompanied, coming in, flooding in to that southern sector of the Texas-Mexico border. And the drug cartels and the other criminal elements are using that distraction to push substantial amounts of criminal activity. And so I told the president some 2 weeks ago that they had to do their part to secure the border. And he said philosophically he understood, what I was talking about and why that made sense to him, but we got no action. So yesterday, which was the culmination of us looking at this and making the decision that Texas was not going to dither. We were going to protect our citizens, and frankly, by doing this, protecting citizens all across the continental United States and securing that border. So 1,000 National Guard troops will go down to help the local law enforcement, the Texas Rangers, the Department of Public Safety, and the Border Patrol, giving them the added force multiplier, if you will, to secure that border, because that's what Texans expect. It's what Americans expect. This is the federal government's responsibility, as enumerated in the Constitution, to secure our country's safety. And this administration has been absolute failures at it. So there's only so much inactivity that you can accept until you have to step in to take care of your citizens' safety, and that's what we've done in Texas.
So if some of these illegals are able to cross the border and have not been apprehended by Border Patrol or anybody else, are they then detaining these people and handing them over to U.S. Border Control personnel?
That could be one of the roles that the National Guard could have in deterring individuals until law enforcement could come, Border Patrol or the Texas law enforcement. So that's one of the roles. They could also, obviously, take up part of that role that the Border Patrol has been forced into administratively handling these young children. So, lots of reports of 70% of the Border Patrol being distracted off of what their primary duty is, which is the enforcement of laws along that border, the security of that border, to taking care of kids. So the National Guard obviously can help in that role too. So, but really, when you think about it, Mike, when you whether it's a neighborhood watch, when you have cameras, when you have uniformed officers, the criminal activity substantially is reduced. As a matter of fact, we've seen a decrease over the course of the last 3 weeks when we surged our Texas Rangers and our Department of Public Safety numbers into that southern sector of the Rio Grande. And the addition of 1,000 of our National Guard troops will be even more of a presence right on the border, and hopefully it will be sending a message down to Central America. Don't be sending your children up here. They're not going to cross the border. They're not going to be staying in the United States, because, frankly, the most humanitarian thing that we can do as a country for these kids is to reunite them with their families.
Since the border fence is incomplete at best, are these people who are crossing illegally just wading across the Rio Grande where there's no fence?
Well, the issue, because a lot of people don't understand the vastness of that Texas border, and there is strategic fencing in the metropolitan areas that has a very important role. What we're seeing, though, is a lot of times you have these coyotes and these individuals who have been hired to bring people across using jet skis. They're using rafts. They're coming across in a lot of various and sundry ways. In that sector of the Rio Grande, the river is big enough and wide enough that you're obviously not going to be walking across. Mm-hmm. There are places way far north, of which at certain times of the year you can walk across the Rio Grande. But that's the reason it's so important. One of the requests I made of the president that he was in not responsive to, let me just put it that way, was the use of drones allowing the FAA to approve drones where we can use those aviation assets and look at wide stretches of the border from up in a platform, aviation platform. That is very important because then you can see the movements that are going on. You can see the activities and very quickly move a team in that can apprehend and make the arrest if that's the case.
Okay. Governor Perry, I know you have to make a plane, so we'll let you go. Thanks very much for being with us.
Godspeed, and look forward to seeing and hearing from you in the very near future, Sloan.
Indeed. We'll talk to Bob Beaupre as well, following up on his conversations with Governor Perry and some other Western governors.
NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
I've been telling you about my friends at American Financing for some time now. They're sponsoring this hour of my podcast. Work with salaried loan officers, get pre-approved in an hour, close in as fast as 8 days. 303-695-7000 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Well, just a few minutes earlier, we had a glowing introduction of Bob Beaupre, who's the Republican challenger to John Hickenlooper in the upcoming election for governor. Texas Governor Rick Perry talking about what he's doing about the border and also about a pro-growth agenda involving like-minded Western governors. Bobby Jindal, not necessarily a Western governor from Louisiana, but he was in town for the Western Conservative Summit, and Bob Beaupre had a chance to meet with him there. Bob, always good to talk to you.
Nice to be speaking with you, Mike. Thank you.
What was your reaction to what Governor Perry had to say?
Well, we had a great time today. We had a good luncheon here, and then he and I had an opportunity to visit at some length. And not surprisingly, the results that he's had in Texas with a very robust economy over the last decade, leading the nation really in job creation and economic growth. We shared some of our thinking, and we found that we're on very similar pages. You keep taxes low, you trust in people, not just to continue to grow government and government regulation, and you kind of turn the genius of people loose, and good things happen. You liberate them, and it's an old tried and true formula. Get government out of the way, and guess what? Jobs flourish. We have been losing some of that in Colorado. In fact, by some measures, Art Laffer and Steve Moore, to be specific, Colorado's economic outlook, our economic opportunity, has fallen from number 2 among all states just 4 years ago to now number 22. And states like Texas have been all too happy to take what we don't seem to want anymore. And I don't have anything against Rick Perry or the state of Texas, but I'd sure like a whole lot of that opportunity back.
When you look at chronic unemployment, when you look at underemployment, when you look at balancing the federal budget and starting to at least reduce the national debt substantially as a percentage of gross domestic product, what all of those problems have in common is the only solution for those problems is increasing the rate of economic growth and job creation from its paltry levels of the last several years.
Precisely, Mike. We should be at full employment. I mean, by just about anybody's measure, even the Denver Post has documented this. Real unemployment in Colorado right now is about 9.5% when you include all the people who have just thrown up their hands and walked away from the workforce. And that's just way too high. That's about 6 points higher than Colorado typically is when we talk about full employment. We are hundreds of thousands of jobs short of where we ought to be. And instead of growing at 1 or 2 or 3% a year, or as the first quarter of this year nationally was actually negative growth, minus 2.9, we ought to be growing at a sustained level of 4.5-5%. And then we could pay some bills. Then maybe we wouldn't be talking about being middle of the pack or a nation perhaps on decline. We'd be that envy of the world again. That's where I want to take Colorado. I know that's where Rick Perry has wanted to take Texas, and he's put together a formula and a plan to do just exactly that. So it can be done. I want to do it here.
What's your take on Jared Polis's underwriting this attempt to put some initiatives on the ballot that would clamp down on fracking in Colorado?
Extreme is probably too kind of a word. Somewhere around a third of all these high-rise office buildings in downtown Denver are occupied by energy companies. If you want to see see-through buildings again, this would do it. It would be an enormous negative impact on not only our energy sector, but, Mike, let me give you an example of what else happens. I was in Grand Junction recently. A guy teaches music lessons in his basement. He said when the energy job was left, he had 30 of his students go with them, with their families. He lost $30,000. I didn't ask him how much of his total number of students that was, but you can imagine. Those guys usually have a few dozen students, and he lost 30 of them just from that, and he's not in the energy business. The trickle down, if you will, the ripple effect of energy is enormous, and you know we're trying to chase the goose that laid the golden eggs out of our state right now, and it's not only wrong, it will be enormously and perpetually destructive if we allow this to happen.
Well, Bob, we're still trying to get a confirmation from Governor Hickenlooper. We've invited him to come into the studio and have a head-to-head debate with you. I know you've already said that you'd be happy to do that. His people haven't decided whether or not they want to go ahead with it, so I'll certainly let you know if that's to be. Bob, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it, as always. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Mike. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.